You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back over to The Big Thing, and it's Shang-Chi, the review. Yes, absolutely. I did not see it, but I am going to be talking to Koj Andrew, who did see it. And man, I can't wait. I have so many questions about this movie. And Koj is going to not only talk about his great experience being there at the premiere and running into Kevin Feige and doing the Koj Andrew selfie thing that he does and does well. A lot of stuff that we're going to talk about with Koj, because it's Shang-Chi time. People are raving about this movie. I can't wait to talk about it. It's a non-spoiler. And here we go. On The Big Thing, mother F's. Boom. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is The Big Thing Show on the SEN Network. I'm me. You're you. That's what I figured out in this world. Anyway, everybody's raving about Shang-Chi, man.
I'm so glad it's as good as people are saying, so I don't feel like I'm just a Marvel fanboy in this one. Like, there's some that I feel like I have to have a little flavor. I had to add a little little comic gumption.
Well, it is well known. You are a Marvel shill.
I got the hat on. Yes. Frankly, I got a picture with Feige, so what else have I got?
What are you gonna do?
What am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
Well, thankfully, the Suicide Squad was exceptional, so I can actually have something to lean on. That one really helped me.
It doesn't matter if you like every single movie that came out DC. One Marvel movie, you are a Marvel show.
And if I like The Last Jedi, I'm not even welcome here. I don't know how I got invited.
I told you never to bring
that
movie.
That's true. I did. And in your home, no less. God damn.
No. Anyway, Koj Andrew is here. It is good to have him here. Manager of the Quirky Mercs, an absolute genius when it comes to these movies, to hear him break down stuff. I will tell you, there's going to be a million times, a million references, and I'm going to nod my head as if I know what Koj is saying. And the answer is, I know nothing, Jon Snow. And we will. Also, I know that I talked about Eternals on Friday, but I am going to be talking about it a little bit with Koj also, because there's tons of stuff that I want to know how this all pans out, man. Like, as far as how this new Phase 4 is coming, because as I mentioned real quick on Friday, the Eternals might be the Marvel movie that I've been looking for and didn't realize I was looking for, because it seems to have everything. Like, it's kind of built for me, the type of... I like the overall Iron Man superhero type of movie. This seems like otherworldly, people been around for centuries, epic type stuff. It's like almost like Dune's coming out, but it's got like Eternals has like
the
Dune.
The cast is similar too, like type of actor, the texture of the film feels very Dune.
And like I said, in the thing on Friday is that I was worried about Angelina Jolie being in that movie, because I was like, oh, they're just going to turn this into an Angelina Jolie movie. And it looks like she's just part of the cast.
Yeah,
and
she's
I love
an ensemble,
that.
And that's rare.
And I love
and that's
that.
The caliber of the cast that she doesn't look like. It's the Angelina Jolie and Friends show.
It says a lot about her too, that she's just I just want to be in it. Let's do it. Give me a cool role.
Yeah.
And let's make it work.
I talked to her at Comic-Con about it, and the mythology of it is what was drawn to her, because she's big on mythology.
Yeah.
She's big on that whole like Greek and depth of these characters.
Felt like that.
And this is that.
It had a Troy feel to it.
Sword and sandal pick.
I'm pretty pumped up about that one. But we are going to start with Shang-Chi here, because the reason why I knew nothing about this movie at all.
Yeah.
Like comics, nothing. How it fits into anything? Nothing. I know it's a full-on origin story, which I think that you might have said in your tweet that it's like a full-blown, like the best origin story
since Phase 1.
Since Iron Man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what makes this movie so good?
It is an MCU film without feeling like it's stuck within the confines of the MCU. A lot of times, like it's the opposite of Iron Man 2. It builds the universe without feeling constrained to the universe.
Right.
So you're having an experience in a world that's growing, and you don't feel alienated, and they're able to tie you to characters that shouldn't work in really immediate ways. They use pop culture, they use song, they use pop
culture. It's got that Marvel humor.
But then the third act is, they haven't shown barely any of it. The third act is so surprising and so big, and it literally could be its own 10-film franchise.
Really?
The way it goes, the places it goes are so big, it's almost Infinity War in scope in a solo film, and it does that by endearing you to a character for two acts and then exploding the movie out into like a mythic world.
I have so many questions. And I think one of the questions that I have is, because I think sometimes, and I said this with Brett the other day, sometimes when people go to premieres, especially when you haven't been in a theater as much lately and it's the first big Marvel premiere, that it's a little intoxicating when you go and everybody comes out like, wow, Like, was there any of that kind of obviously going into it, but at the end of it, do you think it added to it? Have you seen it since? Because I know some people have seen it since.
I haven't seen it since because I wanted people to actually get to see it. I think it's a little like, you know, there's limited seats, you guys. I see you going double dipping. But I did go to the Black Widow premiere, which was at the LCAP. So I got a little taste of that pizzazz.
Right.
So this wasn't my first.
Did you love Black Widow?
I did, but not as much as this.
Okay.
And that was my first. So technically that would be my.
That would be the first. That's the first drug.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is my methadone now. I'm just staying on.
You're off the sauce.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just pacing myself, my MCU. To me, what made this so captivating in theaters was, since I hadn't seen the third act on screen, I was expecting one movie. I got it. And then it was like I got a bonus sequel built in. So what was intoxicating about it was, in the thing I liked, actually, it's a perfect example. Black Widow, what I liked about it was that it reminded me of The Winter Soldier, which is my favorite MCU film.
Okay.
And I liked that because the brutal action and the style of violence and the rapid
edits. It's like a Bourne Identity movie.
Exactly. Yeah. That feels really brutal and tangible. You feel like you could meet the Winter Soldier in the street and that'd be terrifying.
Right.
But then you also feel the paranoia of the government watching over you. That's a very tangible movie. Black Widow captured that again. This is the opposite. This is all the action is beautiful poetry and it's long drawn out and it's like an art house film, but it also feels like you're in a world and then your world explodes.
So give me a movie that it's comparable to outside of superhero movies.
I would say it's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets Amblin 80s films meets hip hop culture.
I like that. That's a good, that's pretty.
Do you see Dope?
Yes.
Imagine Dope, E.T. and Crouching Tiger had a baby.
Okay, that is an eccentric baby.
It's a great baby. That's why it's doing so well. Baby. I think it appeals to different people that would normally like this kind of film.
I mean, like I said, I'm martial arts films. Grew up on them, loved them. The Raid 1, Raid 2 are some of my favorite movies over the last like 10, 15 years. Some people have been comparing some of the martial arts to Raid 1, Raid 2. I get take it easy when I hear that.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know, but The Raid 1 and 2, that, have you seen both those movies?
I have.
The martial arts in those movies, to compare them, I mean, you gotta, that's like saying, oh no, you should try Papa John's, man. It's just as good. It's just as good as Prince Street in Manhattan. It's good.
Mine's a little weirder. Mine would be the Drunken Master era Jackie Chan meets Jet Li's The One.
Okay, see, that to me, when I hear that, I go, okay, I from the trailers, I could see that.
And I think that's more fair,
okay,
but also, I mean, The Raid is another animal.
It's such a different animal because it's such a lower budget, and it's
The Dark Knight. It's another, it's like a superhero film, but it's up here.
And it's so dependent on the martial arts of it. It's as much of a character, and I'm sure it is in this too, but like there's, it's a Marvel film. So the Marvel, you have that added money that, like you said, it's so big and grand that The Raid 1 and 2 are not big and grand. They're big and grand as far as the overall martial arts. And you're like, how are they pulling off those tricks?
But there is a scene in this that I get the Raid comparisons because what it does that the Raid does so well is it uses the Z-axis. So you've got your X and Y axis.
Yeah.
I've never seen martial arts in an American film use the Z-axis like the Raid does.
Okay, so maybe that's why people are comparing.
You see in the trailers, really, there's a scaffolding scene where they're fighting on the side of a building.
Yeah.
They use the depth of the building as much
as
the
Raid. That's fun. Okay, so that's probably the comparison,
so there's some, and there's also a bus sequence, which is briefly in the trailers, and they use the depth of the bus. So Bill Pope was the cinematographer who did The Matrix.
Yeah.
Whoever choreographed these fights talked with Bill Pope for months because you feel he's using the camera like a character.
Okay.
And the martial arts actually make the film the most different from Marvel that I think since Winter Soldier.
That's what intrigues me about the movie, because that's when I saw the first trailer after knowing nothing about it and then seeing it. I'm like, okay, this is what Marvel has done famously, is take movies and make them different genres, whether it's Doctor Strange or whether it's, we just talked about Winter Soldier. Even the first Spider-Man was almost like a John Hughes type feel to it.
Guardians was like nothing else at the time.
Absolutely. So then being able to, and we just talked about Eternals and how different that looks. So being able to do that, that's what is intriguing. So tell me about the story, though, without spoiling anything. What's the overall story and why should I care?
So the beautiful thing about Shang-Chi is it's a family story, but I actually think this medium is better suited for it because you can only invest. I love comic books, with all respect to comic books as a medium. You can only invest so much in a family dynamic in a comic book about like a father and son if you don't know the comic already.
Right.
You can't just pick up a Shang-Chi and go like, man, daddy issues. You need to be invested.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas in a film, you can see Simu's eyes, you can see Tony Leung, who's incredible in this, as the father, and be like, oh, there's a lot going on here. And they expound on that with a mother-daughter relationship, a brother-sister relationship, a father-son relationship. But what's interesting, a lot like The Runaways, is there's a criminal element that you actually understand the basis behind.
Yeah.
So there's no villain here. It's a guy doing something for a reason that he feels justified in, and a scale of mythic quantities.
Right.
So everything is like The Runaways, a small scale villainy, but you add a family dynamic, you add martial arts, you add a mythic quality. So everything is as contained as an argument over a dinner table,
right.
But instead it's martial arts and traveling and dealing with thousands of years of mythology.
That's good.
So all of that meets a vibrant world of martial arts, incorporating the MCU without being
So when you say that, like what? Meaning that it just because it takes place after Thanos does the snap and people are still trying to figure out like how the world works, or
there's elements that tie to other mythic things we've teased in the MCU, and you've seen the Abomination in the trailer.
Right.
But there's also elements that set up where Phase 4 is going.
Okay.
So it's a middle piece.
So it's basically, thanks for investing, everybody who invested beforehand. Here's your reward.
And here's a taste.
And if you're brand new to it, here's all a bunch of new characters you get to follow.
But it does close the door in a way that the film ends and it doesn't feel like you're left hanging.
Yeah.
But it also could be a 10-film franchise without tying to the MCU, but it also is going to be essential to watching the MCU. That's what Kevin Feige does best. He manages to make a piece of a puzzle feel great in your hand.
Right. So
and also when you put it in.
So basically he creates these tools and he's like, well, if I need to use that once we do, because are they going to do more Avenger films or no? Because there's new Avengers.
I think we're leading to Young Avengers.
Okay, Young Avengers. And so what is that?
So everyone, if you've noticed in the TV shows, there's a lot of kids. So you've got Wanda's kids. You've got the new kid
Wanda's
from...
Wanda's kids dead?
But at the very end, that button, she heard them in reality. She heard their...
You remember all this shit. I don't.
And then, so we'll go through in order. We have WandaVision with kids.
Okay.
And then Falcon Winter Soldier, he meets the Patriot, which is that kid that is the grandson of the Captain America, Cy Bradley.
Yes.
Another kid.
That one I remember.
There it is.
Yeah.
So, and then the most recent show,
Loki.
We just finished with Loki. Kid Loki's in there.
Okay.
And then we've got Ant-Man's child who has abilities. She's basically
I think that gets tricky.
But what's going to be interesting is I think that becomes a show. That way you have a long form.
I'm good with a show.
It's a Disney Plus show, I think.
I'm good with a show because I was one of those people who was like, they're going to do a Goonie sequel with the kids. You know what
I
mean?
If you have it on the show, you get the 12 to 15 audience and people like me.
The show, and I stand by the same thing I say about every show, you give, even if I go into it, because I went into WandaVision going, and they won me over immediately.
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't say immediately, but after a few episodes, I was in. But they had the benefit of having more episodes.
Right.
One by one by one. The reason why Mandalorian and all these other shows are so good, because you're so invested through, by the time you get to 10, 11, 12 episodes, whatever you get, you're like, oh man, yeah, I was there from that journey and that little thing. So if they do a show with Young
That's
Avengers.
The move.
Yes.
I
so
think
are
the next
they doing,
team yeah. is X-Men.
You think that in this phase?
No. But right. I think the next time we have a gathering that is an adult team, it's going to be gathering the X-Men.
When do you think they're going to start setting up the X-Men?
I think in the Eternals they start. I think we don't see the X-Men born, but I think a seed is planted in the Eternals that allows for them to go, like, remember that thing? And then that's a seed we don't realize has been planted.
I
think they're going to incept us in Eternals. So when they, 5 years later, go like, oh, and we're like, what?
Right.
That's going
to
be the moment.
Because, again, with pun intended, I guess, with Marvel as a film company, there is no endgame.
No.
Right? There's just like, let's just keep making these things
until
they don't make money.
We're in some sort of Infinity War.
But honestly, dude, it's like, for people who are just like, oh, yeah, like, you get, I don't know, whatever celebrity decides they want to come out against comic book movies in the week, it's like, why would any studio go, you know what? What the hell is the guy? The guy from, God, I guess, Dwarfman. Right?
Oh, yeah. What was that move,
dude? I like
dude?
Him.
And
I
he's
like
a friend to ScarJo's.
I like him a
lot.
Yeah,
same.
And he's a great actor, and he was in Blade,
He was in
for
Blade,
God's sake.
Exceptional in Blade.
He's such a good actor, but he's just an example of one of the many who come out and say it, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's ruined cinema. And then Disney or Warner Brothers goes, you know what? Dorfman's right. Let's just shut it all down.
We don't like toys. We don't like movies. We don't like shows. We don't like clothes.
Shut it down. I was like, the other thing, it's like shtick sometimes for people to just come out against the corporate stuff. It's like, but it's hypocrites who will either go to Disney World or Disneyland, go to see every single movie that either Warner Brothers for DC makes or everything to.
And it works. We're talking about them.
What I'm saying is it's hypocritical for people who go to see those things to then go, oh, the money hungry studios. It's like, well, it's a business.
Show business.
It's a business.
I think the big movies aren't killing mid-range cinema. I think they're keeping theaters open.
No, dude, streaming is keeping independent movies alive.
I think there's two paths now, and I think big tentpoles help us. I think the tentpoles keep theaters open, and they allow for actors to make more risky 100%, chances.
100%, and it gives people more opportunity to get their movies out there, the smaller ones, because if somebody pops in one of these big Marvel DC movies.
Career.
But then they go on another, like, let's say a $5 or $6 million or $10 million, hell, small budgets at this point are $30 million.
Yeah.
Let's say a $30 million Netflix movie with the star of the dude that was in the latest DC movie. More people are going to tune it in as opposed to more people would not go in because it's like, well, it's never worked out with box office. It doesn't work there with box office. Look at Robert Downey Jr.'s movies that he's
done.
When The Judge came out.
Didn't work, Judge
nothing,
didn't work.
Nothing worked, but if you put those movies on streaming, more people watch them. And I think that budgets and all this stuff is going to change dramatically because Shang-Chi's like, do we know what the budget is?
I think it's a little over 150.
I think that changes soon.
Yeah.
I think that they're making a play. Well, Feige and Disney certainly making a play right now to cut out. They're not even doing the Disney Plus thing right now with this movie. I don't know if they're doing it with Eternals.
I don't think they should. I think it's smart. I think they really need to maintain a theatrical.
I'll tell you why I hate it. Because I don't go to the movies that much anymore.
Right.
I'm not going to. Shang-Chi, I really want to see. Like, I really want to see it. It's like probably one of my most anticipated movies because of the martial arts aspect. And I'm not going to see it until it hits thing because of a lot of different reasons. One, at the moment, not ready to go into a theater.
Sure.
Right? Eventually I will be. But even then, you know, if I want to take my wife or my daughter into it, like, for you, I could go to a lot of these screenings still if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Right? But if I'm not, I'm going to take my family out. I got to drop some.
That's $100.
I got to drop some dimes.
Yeah.
As opposed to. You know what? I was just going to drop the $30 and make some popcorn.
But that's also the why it's going to be hard for films to budget that. Like a movie's not going to make its $150 million off $30 at a time.
It isn't, but it's also you have to look at the long run of
the whole enterprise.
Whole enterprise, because the question is for like, HBO Max is going to do some serious auditing on how they do things, right? Because the question is, everyone's like, oh well, it hurt In the Heights. It hurt. What was the last one that came out that did? Suicide Squad.
Hurt that for sure.
Did it hurt the Suicide Squad?
Black Widow, it hurt.
So, but the question is, how much did it hurt? Because there are other things going on in the world that people were ready to go back to movie theaters, and then they weren't again. So you could also blame it on that.
Oh,
right?
Sure. The Delta thing is definitely a factor.
Right. But the question I have, though, as far as how many people, because when HBO Max said, well, we're going to release Dune, we're going to release The Suicide Squad, we're going to release Mortal Kombat, Matrix, all this stuff. How many people signed up to HBO Max because of that, right?
Plenty, but not as many as the cost of 10 people watching it on one.
Yes, but and that's my point about budgets being
audit,
changed.
Yeah.
Because those movies were not meant for the HBO Max model.
Right.
Because instead of them going, look, we know we're going to take a hit here, but let's see if we can get a lot of subscribers in
right.
because of this thing. And
versus your Palm Springs, which is like, you know, 40 to 50 million.
Right.
Hulu made that money because they got a surge of subscribers because of how good it was.
Because that's
the future.
That's what I think people will start to do. Because I'll tell you, man, Eternals, I know Eternals is probably a big budget movie but just from the cast alone.
Yeah.
Right. But it looks small. And what was the movie that she did? The Rider? Is that
The Rider's her.
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
And that movie looks like it costs $60.
Yeah. And it's so good, it doesn't.
Yeah, and she continuously, what she's not going to be able to do in this one, what she's done in all of her films, she just did the one with Frances McDormand.
Nomadland.
She uses like real people
right.
in her movies.
And you can't
she ain't
do that
doing
with
that
heroes here.
She ain't doing that in
but
this
But I think that's what Disney was planning before the pandemic. I think Disney knew the writing was on the wall. That's why the shows are so high budget and invested.
Right.
Because if you want to spend $120 million, do it over 6 hours.
Right.
Then you subscribe.
100%.
And I think they already had the writing on the wall for where things were going. This
right.
just accelerated it. So I think that's why Young Avengers on TV.
Yes.
I think that's why X-Men are going to be both platforms. I think we're going to have X-Men movies and we're going to build independent. Yeah.
They're going to shift
focus. We're just going to see a giant thing happen in the next 10 years.
I do. I think they shift focus on how they do it in general because to what people do, when I think it's unfair for people to say, well, Black Widow failed, The Suicide Squad failed, In the Heights failed, because again, those movies were not planned out to do the streaming thing. They're planned out to be in the theater. Next year, there are going to be movies that are going to be made for the idea of, okay, let's, because people, whether everybody's back in the world living the way that we used to live or not.
People have gotten comfortable, and families. And like, just parking.
Yes.
In LA, in my situation, like, leaving to park, like, sometimes I'm like, I guess I'll stay home.
Just stay home.
Like,
but that's what elements. I mean. And because of technology and because of the things, like, movies, like, I think it was just recently Denis Villeneuve came out and was talking about Dune and how it shouldn't be watched on screen, on TV at all, and it should just be in theaters. And it's like, not everybody can get to theaters, dude. Yeah. Like, and especially with families. It's like, I think that this strategy, if done differently, and maybe I don't mind as much as I want it now.
Yeah.
I don't mind the 30-day window thing. The 30-40-day window.
I think that's how Marvel goes forward. I think we get 4 Marvel films a year going forward, because I think originally they were going to work up to that, and then it happened because everything got stacked.
Yeah.
I think we get 4 Marvel films a year, go quarterly, and then I think we get between 4 and 6 shows. I think there's going to be rarely
makes
a
sense.
Week without...
And Star Wars, too.
And Star Wars balances, obviously, the weeks they're missing, but I think there's going to be rarely a week without Marvel content, and therefore the people don't notice the 30 days, because they've got X,
Y,
and Z,
other stuff that they can
and
watch.
Then you've got a year-round Marvel... It's just a machine.
Right, and I think that it makes a lot of sense... if you're doing it that way. But the only thing I will say, if you're giving me that 30-40-day window, don't charge me $30.
Once it pops.
Don't
charge. Yeah, once it's at home.
You put it on Disney Plus. Yeah. I signed up for Disney Plus, you put it on Disney Plus. If it's $30, 34 days afterwards,
that's
I'm paying $30 or $40 because it's coming out and I'm watching the same day as everybody else.
Right.
That makes sense, okay? But no. Well, now it's $30 if you want it 40 days after it's been in the theater.
I don't think you can pay-per-view post. Like, I don't think you can do, like, and it's already out. Like,
no,
that's not
it's like, well, you know, now it's on demand, and other people are going to pay $20 for it. And you can still, if they put it on Amazon, because right now you can go to Amazon and get Black Widow for like $20-$30, right? Okay.
If that's different than $6 plus.
It's different than putting it on Disney Plus, which is, I thought, because I'm a Disney Plus subscriber, that I should... That's what I'm doing by subscribing.
And this feels so much like the Netflix Kazaa. Remember when we had like Kazaa and LimeWire and Netflix was just DVDs? There was that shift in you can bootleg this stuff at this quality, you can buy it for this quality, and everything was shifting. We're living through another one of those that happened so quick. Yeah. Like, because of the world, we've shifted ahead, I think, about 4 years. I think this was coming, but it would have been about 4 or 5 years in the future.
Right.
And now it's now.
Right. And that's, and we, because we were talking about that, like, what's streaming, like the streaming wars, all these different things.
Yeah, back at Collider with Movie Talk, we'd talk about this stuff,
100%.
And we thought it was like near future, but not tomorrow.
Netflix,
and now we're here.
Like, when you look at like the overall, if you look at it like Game of Thrones, where Netflix is pretty much the Lannisters, and they know exactly what they're doing. And then it's just like, well, wait a minute, that battle plan, they got to the battlefront a lot faster than we thought that they would, because they were forced into it. It's almost like the nothing from NeverEnding Story like came in, and then everyone's like, oh man, we got to save Fantasia somewhere.
And then you've got people like Apple that came out of nowhere,
right?
That has such quality content that's only for TV.
Right.
They have the occasional movie, but they're known for their TV structure, but it's premium and high dollar.
They have good, because they're
Ted
fucking
Lasso
rolling over in
money. There's whatever money throw at the problem.
Let's try something. It's so funny. Like, I've mentioned this. Ted Lasso, I'm about 3 episodes into season 1. So I'm going to, that one I am going to get done.
Because the wife doesn't like it, right?
She doesn't like much.
Okay. I remember there being a reason. I was like, what?
She gets mad at me when I say that. She's like, oh, everything's like that. She likes the things that she likes, right?
Respectable.
Yeah. And so when, but for that one, I'm going to watch it. But I'm watching this brand new show that is great. You should check it out. I've heard it. It's called The Sopranos.
Oh, I've heard of this. They got a prequel coming out. I think it wrapped up a little bit ago.
Wrapped, but no, but I'm like, I can't help it. I'm like, season 4, I'm going to do it. I'm 5 now. And because I want to get, because it comes out on my birthday,
the Many Saints
of Newark, and I'm almost done.
So you'll power through.
I want to power through it, but I have taken a break because Phantom Menace. We're doing a breakdown on Sith Council of all of the movies.
That's great.
So we're doing Phantom Menace. We just did Phantom Menace on Friday. We're doing Attack of the Clones this Friday.
Yes.
We're gonna do all the movies.
You, Steph, and Mike.
Well, Steph and I did the first one.
Got it.
And I think Mike's going to be able to do the second one. And we're just going all the way through all 11 movies.
I was
going to
ask if is it the spinoffs too. That's fantastic.
Yes. We're just not doing the animated movies.
That's fair.
Or the animated Clone War movies. But we're doing all of them, because by the time we finish them, we think we're going to be getting into Boba Fett.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm a Solo apologist. I think more people should revisit it. It's not great, but it's not as bad as other things.
It's just, this thing with Solo for me is, and I've said it, people are tired of hearing it, but like it's not a bad movie. The problem with the movie is that it just shouldn't have been a Solo movie. It should have been about a different bounty hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, or a different person.
Yeah, just another rogue, fun, charming guy in space.
He's a good character, that character. It's just, not to me, it's not Han Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Proxima, Lady Proxima in the beginning drives me crazy. And every time someone brings up Solo, I have to. I want to have John Hoey on this show because every time I see him post Make Solo 2 Happen, I start to shake because I'm like, because immediately, and not against their movement, but against the fact, why didn't Lady Proxima have subtitles?
Yeah.
It's like, instead, when she shows up, and you've seen the movie enough, yeah, right? She pops up, and imagine if she was like, you're like, oh, shit, what did she say? And then the subtitles. Instead, it's, oh, Solo! Oh, what are we going to do with you?
It doesn't make
you
any
rat.
Sense
it's so
logically.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's a big fucking worm.
There's no reason for English with those characters, and it drives me crazy every time.
Crazy. It should be like a thing.
Yeah, make it a moment.
When aliens know basic, it'll be, holy shit,
yeah,
this guy knows basic.
But, Hoey, this is why you get the matches you get. Sorry.
But, man, anyway, so look, I'm going to take a quick break here before we get back into, because I have so many more questions about Shang-Chi, and I have the great Koy Jandrew with me. But I'm actually so excited that we're back with Quip, man. Quip is fantastic. If you guys didn't know, I mean, since the Schmoes, no days, I mean, it's incredible. And technology now, what they've been able to do with your life in general, man. I mean, whether you're getting you get so excited every time you get a free gift or something happens. What did you guys get? What did you have to do the last time you got something free that was really cool? Your favorite rewards program and whatever, you know, whatever it was. Were you part of something that you kept gaining points to and you're like, oh, got something free? Well, check this out. You've heard us talk many times about Quip. This is something brand new that's going to reward you and your mouth. The Quip Smart Brush, it's for adults and kids. My oldest has one, and she loves it. It connects to the Quip app, and you can use your Bluetooth. See? Technology, baby. Track when and how well that you brush. You get tips and coaching to improve your habits. You earn points for daily brushing and bonus points or completing challenges. That's like, you make it fun, especially for kids. They have like a game to play. It's awesome. And if you already have a Quip, you can upgrade it. Use a smart motor, and it keeps the features that you know and that you love. The sensitive sonic vibrations. It's got a 2-minute timer with 30-second pulses for a guided clean. It's slim. It's lightweight. It's sleek. It's got no wires. It doesn't have that stupid bulky charger that weighs you down. It's multi-use travel. It's got a multi-use travel cover that doubles as a mirror mount. This thing's fantastic. And in addition, by the way, to brushing heads, Quip also delivers fresh floss, toothpaste, mouthwash, gum refills every 3 months from $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the hustle and bustle in-store shopping. You got to join over the, how many? 5 million. That's right, 5 million mouths using Quip, and save hundreds compared to other Bluetooth brushes when you get a Quip Smart Brush for just, how much? $45, Koy. $45. You start getting rewards for brushing your teeth today. This is all you have to do. Go to getquip.com/big thing right now to save $10 on a Quip Smart Electric Toothbrush. It's pretty easy. $10, come on, off a smart electric toothbrush, and getquip.com/big thing. One more time, getquip.com/big thing. Quip, the good habits company. You tried this? Have you tried the Quip?
I actually have Quip. I didn't even know that before I got here. But I can say, without soliciting any sort of ad,
fantastic,
for me, amazing. I've had it for a year and a half.
And you have the Bluetooth?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So good.
And like, the shipping is so convenient, because I do forget. I like forget to go get a toothbrush.
It's easy.
And it's
the refills, all of it. It's
like, amazing.
And for that deal?
Yeah.
Come on.
Fantastic. Big fan. Also, as someone who's recently had a lot of dental work because he didn't take care of himself before, you got to make the move now.
See, that's not,
as we get older,
that's not smart.
Bad news.
What you should be doing is going there and getting the Quip and putting it in your mouth.
Arnold takes care of his teeth.
He does. And because ask me if I want some milk.
Want some milk?
Milk is for babies.
That dude, is double root canal.
That was Joe Manganiello told me that, by the way. He said he was sitting with with Arnold at some restaurant.
That's so much testosterone in one room.
So it was an incredible story. He does a very good Arnold, by the way. And they were sitting there together, and the waiter came up to him and they had some dessert, and the waiter's like, you know, would you like some milk with that? Come on, milk is for babies. It's my favorite line
just
ever.
The two of them talking like Gaines would be amazing.
I would
just
love,
like, so much nerd
love
brodom
to hear.
Right
or just Arnold doing Arnold with, because, you know, he's a big Dungeons and Dragons
fan.
Yeah. Megan,
yeah.
Lewis. So
You hunted dragons, putting that in front of you.
Oh man, a Conan D&D crossover.
That would be wonderful. I could go there, and the next thing you see the big dragon, and you throw it at him. I got you, dragon, and he falls down, and then they pick him up, and you walk there. And I remember in the Conan, I punched him in the face, not the dragon, but the horse, and he went ha, and I went ha, and then he fell down. I was a camel, wasn't that the horse?
This is your ad for D&D, Arnold. This is what we need. That's we need all. Mercer and the Critical Role people to have Arnold on and 100%. Make it happen. I'm in.
Have Arnold and because, like I said, were you a big Sopranos guy?
Casual. So I was young. Okay. I saw it when it first aired.
Oh,
so I was way too young. I need to rewatch.
But I was Cilio Dante, who's Steven Van Zandt.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know, when he's talking, he talks like this. So Arnold, I got to tell you, then remembering that it was a camel and saying it was a horse. Not a good thing.
See, Breaking Bad was my Sopranos. Exact right age, but I also acknowledge that Sopranos allowed Breaking Bad to happen, 100%. Much like Donner Superman was a little before my time, but yeah. I acknowledge it got us here.
People forget that you putting a bad guy in the lead or someone with those types of morals.
Six seasons?
No. And back then, because they shot the pilot in 97.
Yeah, I was nine.
That's stupid. The pilot, shooting that back then, like HBO, like they shot pilots and then they looked at it the same way network did.
Yeah.
Now they just go, okay, we like that, make the series. And they put the series out and they do it. And if the series doesn't do well, then they don't renew it. But like that wasn't like
and
that.
And Sopranos right. got us the ability to do how they do it now because of how big 100%. It was. It changed television.
Absolutely.
So I give full credit, even though I was too young to really get the nuances.
Anyway, back to Shang-Chi because give me an overall score of what you're going to score this film overall.
I gave it an A-. Okay. It is actually, I can even run you down. I scored it my number 10 Marvel movie. Of all.
Isn't that hard to do, though, because it's so fresh in your brain?
And because there's so many different types of movies.
Right, but isn't that hard to say that it's in your top 10 after because you just saw it?
Because I was able to separate what flaws I saw in it versus others, and I basically went by flaws. I went negative. So the things that bothered me about other movies, the elevation of that. So that probably won't change on a rewatch.
See,
if you go positive, it does affect you.
I'm actually hesitant doing that now, honestly, and not to cause problems with anybody, but I'm hesitant after Last Jedi.
That's fair.
Of doing that kind of stuff because I famously talked about this where when I saw it in the theater, I didn't tweet about it because I didn't know what I just saw. And I was like, I'm not sure if I really liked that.
Sure.
I go, I can't, I know it was a well-made film. I can't tell if I like that.
And my villain problem is my big Marvel problem, and this doesn't have the villain problem, which puts it automatically in the top half.
Villain problem in Marvel's been getting better.
Oh, infinitely. Phase 3 and 4 have been, they figured out what the problem was in Phase 2 and they fixed it.
It's so funny how it was like, okay, there's another shit villain. And then, because even though I think he redeemed himself in Falcon and Winter Soldier, what's his face?
Baron Zemo absolutely redeemed himself.
Zemo is pretty worthless.
But that's the beauty of the way the Marvel Universe works is they can retroactively improve.
100%.
It's amazing because the continuity is so tight.
Yeah.
They can go like, oh, this is what he was doing in this day. And then like just put this scene
in. And you understood him a little bit more even though they tried to set it up in Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil War was all about Cap and Tony.
Yeah.
That's really what I mean. And he was just there.
Right.
He
was the catalyst. So he needed to be there, but he also didn't get enough time to be interesting separate of the catalyst.
Like Loki.
Yeah.
Was really the kind of first villain in Avengers.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a good villain, right? But it was so funny how quickly Killmonger, to me, became the best villain.
For me, it's Killmonger and Thanos are, like, right there.
And then Thanos came around and then dethroned Killmonger so quick. And I was like, oh, finally, we've been waiting for someone to be the king of the villains, and it's Killmonger. I remember being on Movie Talk going, this is the guy. And then Thanos comes out, and it's like, okay, Thanos, to me, is the Vader of...
Oh, 100%. He's one of the best villains of all time in cinema.
He's
but what's interesting about the what they learned, I think they actually learned it from Marvel Netflix, is they learned that the villain has to be as interesting and have the right motive as the hero. Because Kingpin is the exact same character as Daredevil with motive.
Right,
you're
motive.
Just looking at motive.
Yes, and so speaking of motive, and at this point, what if the T'Challa one has been on?
Yes, you've seen it.
Oh
yeah,
Thanos is a good guy. Is fantastic.
So great.
And it goes back to that. And sorry, spoilers. It's on Disney Plus now. The motive that you're talking about is not really there, and they turn that motive into a joke.
It's like a used car salesman.
It's
like
great.
He's like a guy that has like this golden
it's
idea.
Conspiracy theory guy.
He's like, I think this is the move.
And you're like, dude, that sounds like genocide. And he's like, nah, if you look at it this
Captain
way,
Genocide is the best nickname.
It's hysterical. Because
it also addresses the conversations we've all had, like, why didn't you just make more resources?
Right.
And it's really cool that they can make just one choice where T'Challa would handle being Star-Lord better than Star-Lord, and having a conversation with Thanos is all it took.
Yes.
That's an amazing what-if. And that's what makes that show so strong, is you can literally... It wouldn't work unless we were 13 years into the universe, though. Unless we were this invested in these tiny little choices. But right now we have what-if Shang-Chi, the Suicide Squad, and an Eternals trailer.
Yeah.
At once, and it doesn't feel like the same thing.
No.
All four of those things feel completely unique to themselves.
Very different. And I think that that's why for what if what they're doing right now. How many have you seen?
I've only seen the first two. I didn't watch the three screeners. I like them week to week.
I saw all three of them, and it's funny. Each one got, like, because the first one I thought, as much as I like Peggy Carter, I just thought it was basically Captain America, but what if she was Captain America?
And the pacing was really rushed.
It was weird. It was like pretty much just took her, said, okay, all the things that happened to him just happened to her. And it was nothing really different except she went into the machine except him. She's great, and she was great. She's a good character, but
it felt small, and it shouldn't have started small.
Right. I like that they started. If they did that and they started with that one, fine, because if they continue to do what they've done in 2 and 3, then it just keeps going up, because 2 is great.
Yeah.
2 is great, because even though it's like, okay, well, they just replaced T'Challa in that role as Star-Lord instead.
But it changes everything. Drax's family's alive. Thanos is like...
I was going to say, if they made him, I'm like, oh, but he's... Why? Because if they were going to make him like Star-Lord, and then he starts cracking jokes and doing all this... But he's the same guy. He just happened to He's just a good dude.
Yeah.
And everybody... And freaking... What's his face? I'm so bad with names that I would get crushed in it. Michael Rooker.
Yondu.
So Yondu is not same relationship, but different.
Yeah.
And treats him differently and talks to him. He talked down to Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And he treated him like...
And he respects T'Challa 100%. Because he would. Also, you could argue that T'Challa's better off as Star-Lord than maybe the King of Wakanda, because all the restrictions he has as Wakanda, he clearly wants to be free of them.
It enhances
both characters.
It's really good. And then the third one is but that one's not out, so I'm not going to spoil it. But people have seen the trailer, I guess, for it. It's like the Avengers, if the initiative didn't go the way it was supposed to.
Genius.
That really worked for me.
Yeah?
It really works for me. That was my favorite one out of the three, and I love the second one.
That's impressive.
I love the second
one. And this is all right now, so everyone that's like, the bubble's going to burst, everything's so similar. I've not felt like anything was similar in a long time.
Yeah.
I think there's arguably four giant properties out right now, all based on major comics, not just indies, major comics. None of it feels the same.
Here's another reason why it's not going to burst, is because of what we were just talking about.
It's an empire.
Besides it just being an empire, because you can't just turn out, because you can, again, you can make great food, and then you just start, you know, and you open up a chain of restaurants, your food gets crappy, people are going to stop eating it.
Sure.
I think that what we were just talking about before with the independent and the streaming movies, like, they have a place to live, whether it's Apple or Hulu or Netflix or Disney Plus, there's a place to make smaller movies now, right?
Yeah.
The big budget movies are going to want to live in the theater, because people are going to go back to theaters, people are going to see it. You're going to see less... Like, the tickets for the $30, $40 million movies, a lot of people aren't going to spend the money for it.
And those that will.
Yes.
The Lemleys will still have people that are diehards.
100%. And it just, you know, and it's like Netflix, what they did with The Irishman, where it's like, okay, look, it's going to get a mass thing, and then we'll put it for people who want to go see it in the theater.
I saw in theaters.
Right, they can.
Yeah.
But movies like Marvel movies, they're going to continue to have that big audience. And it's very similar. People are going to know how they compare the two. Marvel movies to me right now are very comparable to The Bachelor.
Okay?
And I'll tell you how. I'll tell you why. The Bachelor, when I worked there, that show will never die. And you know why it'll never die? Because mothers who are watching it right now eventually will start watching it, or mothers, fathers, whoever are watching it with younger, their 13, 14-year-olds start watching
it. Into it.
15, then they start watching it with their friends when they're 17, 18, 19, then they're 20s. Then there's and it plays to housewives, it plays to everybody, Middle America, it plays to I mean, there's so many people that love that show, and it keeps going on and on and on. Marvel,
same thing. We're on the second, arguably going into third generation of Marvel fans.
That's what I mean.
2008
was a
while ago.
So because there's so much content, so many different characters, and now because of streaming, where you can go and say, all right, I'm going to watch the entire phase Marvel, and then you're like, oh, I'm done? No, you're not done, because now there's something else. Well, I was so hooked into it, and now, but look, now there's this.
So just like comics.
That bubble ain't bursting.
No,
it's a
comics
new
been
genre.
Around for 7 years for a reason, too. Like
right.
Comic books, you pick up a comic, you read your character. Oh, this guy popped in. He seems cool. I'm going to go pick up this run.
Yeah.
This, it's the same thing. And that's so smart that Kevin, I give Kevin Feige a lot of credit. He knew to model it after the success of another medium, but bigger.
See, I'm not giving the credit to Kevin Feige. I'm giving it to Christopher Nolan. I'm giving it to Christopher.
I think he made it adult, but I think Kevin made it the multi-medium choice.
From what he did, with connecting Marvel and connecting the stories 100%.
Yeah.
But Nolan made Batman cool again.
Right, which we needed.
Which we needed because it wasn't Joel Schumacher.
Same year as Iron Man, though. 2008, Dark Knight. I mean, granted, 06 was Batman Begins.
Absolutely. But Batman Begins was the first one.
Yeah.
Dark Knight and Iron Man were the same time. But I don't think Iron Man has that same pop if Batman isn't kicking ass the way that he's doing. And
I think it was one of those. It wasn't quite Deep Impact Armageddon situations, but I do feel like there were two pots cooking at once.
Yes, for
and
sure.
And we needed them both. And Batman Begins, do you remember the advertisements for Batman Begins?
Mm-mm.
They advertised it like a Katie Holmes heartthrob movie on the CW. I remember one of the trailers is literally a romance like trailer.
Makes sense.
Because they needed to sell it.
And they were nervous.
That's how bad things were then. How bad things were for superhero culture.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to sell it as a Katie Holmes vehicle.
They're nervous. So some people give it a Blade, saying that Blade sort of a Blade was smaller, man. Blade didn't carry
Blade
over.
Snuck away being a superhero film that no one knew was a superhero film.
Right.
Which is important.
That's right. And it came out in 99, I think.
Yeah.
And that,
98.
98, 99.
Because it beat The Matrix because the trench coat thing started.
It was 99.
Yeah. The Matrix 99. I think Blade was 98.
Oh, so you're saying beat. Okay.
Yeah.
Either way. It comes out and absolutely did a lot of stuff for comic movies in general, but it was a rated R film.
Yeah.
It did, like, and going the mainstream route and bringing Batman back into play, some people will say, well, X-Men.
Yeah, they were huge.
Because X-Men from 2000 and on, but I think that still people weren't carrying it over the same way. And then when Marvel was able to connect it and make it,
right,
it's been a television show in the movies.
Yeah.
So, again, where we started and
I think
Shang-Chi,
the first movie was that was mainstream accepted was X-Men. I think that wouldn't have happened without Blade, but I think the first film was Batman Begins.
Right.
That's what I think the difference is.
Absolutely.
I think
when you have a filmmaker like Nolan there, and then you look at and I don't think enough people have been talking about this. Like, obviously, Feige for what he's been doing, but his name is never thrown in there as much as it should be, and it should be Favreau.
Oh my God!
It's not. It's like,
look what he's done for everything. Star Wars, like Lion King.
People don't give him enough. Well, Lion King is what some people will get mad about. But like, I happen to think that for what he was able to do without doing Lion King. For if you love Mandalorian, then shut the fuck up about Lion King because he developed a lot of that technology and a lot of the stuff that he's working with.
And it kicked off a whole new genre. That's what I'm speaking
100%.
To. Mandalorian's new genre. Yes. Marvel new genre. Lion King new genre. Like what? Swingers is a new genre. Like Favreau consistently.
He's a fan of this stuff.
Yeah.
And you can tell. And I don't think his name is he's not given as much credit for what he did in both Marvel and now Star Wars, right? Because people are going to forget this, even though it's such a cesspool sometimes. But like the Star Wars was in bad shape when Mandalorian came out. It was in bad shape. It was so much. I stopped talking about it. I'm like, I don't want to talk about Star Wars anymore. I'm like, it's not fun. It sucks. Everybody fucking hates each other. I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
It's making not the material itself, but just being. It just felt dirty, and because people just didn't like what came out in that new trilogy, and it was like it felt like politics. You and I have talked about.
Yeah,
this.
I avoided it till Mandalorian. Mandalorian's what got me back to talking about Star Wars.
Same, and then Bad Batch and all this, and then watching because I think for even the naysayers of the new trilogy who were like, oh, this is gonna suck too, and then they see what's put into it, like, okay, well then there's hope of the stuff that I like, and then there's. It seemed like same page type stuff. I think Favreau and Filoni, obviously, very responsible for that. But continuing on and giving Feige the credit is continuing on this narrative of learning how to change, shift, do genres, and he's doing this apparently with Shang-Chi.
I absolutely think Shang-Chi is a movie that will benefit from the theater, but it's so good it will be good at home. I do think Kevin loves the theater experience enough that what we're going to get is like weekly comics are going to be like the Young Avengers on TV, and then we're going to get annuals in the theater.
Okay.
I think we're going to get like the big tentpole movies are still
like,
going
to
be
similar to Star Wars.
Yeah. So yeah. I think what Feige's been able to do is look at the medium of comic books and see like, oh, that's a $10 issue. That goes here. And then weekly issues are $4. They go here. And I think he's modeling things after that. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we start to get things that feed directly into each other where there's going to be an origin on TV and then you see them fully formed in a movie.
Right.
So you can if you watch a movie, you don't have to have seen everything before it, but it would help you.
Right.
So I think that the X-Men, for example, we might get a Cyclops, a Storm, all these characters on TV.
Okay.
And then see them in movies after they're fully formed. I could see the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters being a show.
I love that.
And then the X-Men in the movies.
I would love an X-Men show.
And then you could do X-Factor, Generation X. You could do all the different side X-Men teams.
You know
teams.
What you can really do with it also is that what TV allows you to do, that I'm glad that they're going to be able an opportunity to do this now, is it allows you to test out, very similar like wrestling, right? Okay, well, this person, we got an angle for this person. Let's see how the crowd pops for them, if they like them or not. Well, you know what? We just debuted this X-Men, this new character.
Yeah.
Fans didn't really respond to him. We were going to do like a whole spinoff movie. Well, let's shift. You know who they're really responding to? So-and-so, who we just cast by accident and did some really great choices with that character. All right, let's get the writers in here. What if we do this with the character next week instead? And then that goes over, and then it blows up.
And then TV, you have the time to make those decisions. Yeah. Like, Hauser was only supposed to be in one episode of that show, Kingdom I Love.
Right.
Hauser's the third lead, effectively.
And that happens all the time, and it also happens with directors. Look at Deborah Chow.
Yeah.
Right? Deborah Chow, for like when she comes in, and she just understands the world so well, and they give her the entire series for Obi-Wan. She's doing all six or five, whatever the hell they are.
So you do that with X-Men because you don't know which characters are going to grab, except Wolverine. What I would do is have Wolverine be two seasons of a show before he even shows up in a movie. Because in the comic books, the problem is it becomes Wolverine and the X-Men very quickly.
Very fast.
What you want to do.
And in the movies, too.
It's consistent.
Is that what you said in the movies?
Yeah, in the movies.
Okay,
yeah.
Because comics it did, too.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
So
he's
a cool character. He's amazing. He's Wolverine.
Yeah, he's
but you want Cyclops to be the leader, not Wolverine.
Right.
You want Jean Grey and Cyclops' relationship to matter before the Phoenix.
Right.
You want Storm to actually get some time and not say lines about toads. You want characters to get some... So what I would do, you introduce Wolverine on TV, two seasons, and set it in different past because he's ageless.
Risky, though, isn't it?
But then you introduce him on Disney Plus.
I know. I think the plan is smart.
But with him being ageless, he can show up in a movie after two seasons and be the same age and make it appropriate.
The same age,
and that way characters get Wolverine before why they want him so bad. And then by the time he's in the movies, you haven't ruined the X-Men.
Would you make him short?
Yeah, I have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I if there's very few things that I'm attached to, short Wolverine's one of them. Hugh Jackman is the one exception because the man is Wolverine. He just happened to be tall.
Yeah.
Much like Ryan Reynolds. Like, got
they just change it, but this time around, you think they make it
I
tall.
Want like an Edgar Ramirez, like feral little like intense dude. Did you see Jungle Cruise?
I saw it, yes.
The bad guy in Jungle Cruise.
No.
Edgar Ramirez.
I
think he'd be great. If you go younger, I want Taron Egerton. I think too stout, stocky, very like...
Isn't Taron Egerton's like 5'11".
Yeah, but he looks stocky. Like, think about his build. I just want someone to look like they are like a bub. Like, I never saw Hugh Jackman saying bub.
But Hugh Jackman...
He's got a lean build. He's got like a...
True. But Taron Egerton's not stocky.
I see him as pretty stocky. But maybe I just like him because of the eagle.
Yeah.
I see the two
Eagle's
of them.
Eagle's great. But I think doing it that way would be great because, you know, Taboo now, back in the day, Mel Gibson was thrown around.
Old Man Logan?
Yeah, was thrown around.
Would have been perfect. Because he's like actually 5'4". Like, Mel Gibson's a tiny guy.
He's tiny. He's like 5'8", or whatever he is. But still, is he that small?
He's real small. Because have you watched Edge of Darkness, the Boston movie?
I know it, but I don't remember it.
Literally, there's a couple wide shots in that where you see actual Mel Gibson height, and it's almost comical. Like, it doesn't quite... I think he's going to say 5'7". No, there's no way. That's a lie.
I don't know.
5'10 is 5'10. Not even...
I don't think he's as small as you think he is.
He's pretty small.
How small do you think Al Pacino is?
5'9". 5'8", 5'9".
You suck with height. Al Pacino is, if he's lucky, he's 5'6".
But Tom Cruise is, and they're going to lie.
5'8".
See? I think Google gives a couple inches. Because Tom Cruise is like 5'5", 5'6". And they say he's like 5'8".
5'7".
Okay, that's a little closer. All right, Google. I may have hoodwinked me.
I don't think you're good at
that. All right, Mel, show up. Mel, roll through. We got to stand next to a shark.
Yeah, I don't think that's your strength. Point. But anyway. So.
But yeah, I want someone stocky. And I do think doing a long form, you can have him go through the wars. You can have all that character development. And that way he's not Wolverine and the X-Men.
Right.
He's a character on the team.
What are they... So Shang-Chi... When it comes to, do I get rewarded at all? And it's not a bad thing if the answer is no, but do I get rewarded at all from watching Loki or Winter Soldier or the other one, the freaking Scarlet Witch, whatever the hell it is, WandaVision? Not really.
Not really, but also kind of.
Okay.
When you see it will make sense.
So there's a reference, but it doesn't.
It's not mandatory.
But you don't need to watch, right. which is fine.
Which is what I think is the smart move for now, until it gets more established.
Of course.
I think they need to really make it so it's a one and one, like starting phase five, where you need to watch the lead up and then it's like the payoff.
The only show that I felt like, holy shit, you might really have to watch this in order to know what's going on was Loki.
Loki is going to change everything. Because Loki, the moment in Loki where the multiverse starts is like the snap.
That's like the whole thing. Because that pretty much just said, okay, well, now we know that all the Spider-Man shit, that's all going to go down now. Because
Doctor Strange is now an Avengers movie. Right. Everything leads to Doctor Strange. Right. Basically, that was the beginning.
Yeah.
And the end game, for lack of a better term, is Doctor Strange 2 now. So everything is going to lead right to him cleaning up all the messes. It's a sequel to WandaVision. It's a sequel to Spider-Man. Yeah. It's a sequel to
I love it.
Everything.
When does that come out?
I think 2022 now.
Right. Which also makes sense because when it came out, there was so much stuff that had not come out yet. So they probably had to do a ton of rewrites.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're shooting it during these times, and you're having to like change your storylines because they're changing their Disney Plus storylines. Because there was a whole virus storyline in Falcon Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah,
there was literally a vaccine. Right. Like they mentioned it once, and then they're like never touched it again. So there's gonna be stuff like that.
What about post credits? Without giving the spoilers, you're hearing there's two of them.
Yeah, and they're fantastic. They're very different.
Are they worth something as far as story goes, or are they just fun? One fun, one story.
Yeah. Exactly. One fun, one story. But the one that's not as important is still very important, just more in one path than broad.
Got it.
It keeps you on a path versus expanding, if that makes sense.
Well, Shang-Chi to me seems like that's the one that I really, I mean, I don't know. I mean, after seeing this Eternals trailer, I don't know. There's three movies that come out this year with MCU. It's Black Widow. This one, and then Shang-Chi. And series-wise.
And Spider-Man in December, if you count
Spider-Man,
that.
Of course I do. Yeah, it's part of the MCU. So there's a lot of good ones.
And we got not counted, but Venom in September. It's a great time, man.
Count. It's good. I mean, and then...
I think it might count more than we think.
Really?
I think there's going to be elements of Venom.
You hear things.
Yeah, I think some things. I think that Interdimensional Sinister Six is happening, and I think there are seeds planted with Vulture Adrian Toomes in this.
Do you think there were bigger deals happening behind the scenes after like that whole fallout happened with Marvel and Sony when they almost lost it, and then the new deal figured out a lot of shit?
I think Sony got a nice piece of something that is allowed in Venom because of that deal.
Because of it.
Because now you notice Spider-Man is way more available in certain elements of marketing.
Right.
He's going to be in longer in the MCU. I think Sony wanted something for that, and I think Venom's going to get some juice for it.
So was that the new deal? How many more movies is he allowed into now with...
I think two, and then two more solo.
So they're going to be able to use him but sparingly, though.
Yeah, for now, but they could also... It's an evolving agreement. But you also notice that Adrian Toomes is in the Morbius trailer. And the Morbius trailer has Spider-Man in images of it.
Okay.
We haven't seen any Spider-Man and Venom, but Venom and Morbius are in the same universe. So I think the big Interdimensional Sinister Six that Spider-Man 3 is going to be is going to tie directly into Venom and Morbius.
What's going on with that Morbius thing? Like there was that's the Leto movie, right?
Yeah. I think Leto's just, I mean, it's always going to be a lot with that guy. I think it's going to be a fun like B horror movie.
Wasn't that supposed to be on? Was supposed to be out already?
Yeah, but like everything, they don't even have a date for it yet.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, they just pulled it.
That's what I mean. Like it was supposed to come out a while ago, and it's one thing. Like, oh yeah, everything got pushed. Yeah, but when?
We haven't even heard about that one.
It's like this turning into another what's the X-Men movie? What's the one?
Poor New Mutants movie that just got like whoop, and then it like unceremoniously came out and was like, hey,
it's like a horse that broke its leg.
Yeah,
at that point, it's like what? Well, we're gonna put it here. Disney didn't know what the hell to do with it now that they bought it, and it just like. It's
what
like,
a way to end a franchise that started so much.
Yeah,
it's such a rough ending.
Yeah, and that movie, it's just like, just put it out. No one's going to see the fucking thing anyway.
And like Deadpool, I think, is going to revive a lot of that love. But I think it's going to, I think there's going to be a, like, much like Guardians, I think Deadpool's going to be its own little corner.
Deadpool 3, right?
So yeah.
They already confirmed rated R.
Yep.
And they confirmed.
They got the writers, they got Ryan.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a Deadpool show, a Deadpool movie, and a team.
You think there's going to be a Deadpool
show? I think
it's
gonna be a whole Deadpool universe.
If I'm Ryan Reynolds, I'm taking that deal immediately because he's different than Downey.
Yeah.
But it looks like Free Guy is actually, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Free Guy looks like there's going to be, this is the exception to the rule where some people just can't pop, right?
Cause
Ryan Reynolds will do like six movies and you'll be like, "Dah," and then he does one that's great.
Yeah.
And then he does another one like, oh, okay, he keeps trying and doing new things. But like again, Free Guy.
Yeah,
like
which is genius. It's like actually really way works. Smarter than it's advertised. There's a lot of philosophical elements to it that are genius.
I like when producers and the studio knows that and they market it, you know, still selling simply. The movie that they have simply because then when you actually deliver and more so because everybody's raving about it.
I'd rather be surprised with intelligence than dumbed down and be bored.
When's it come out on Amazon? Soon, right?
Soonish. I think it's a 30-day.
That one I'm gonna because
it's been out a week already. So,
but you can't pay for it yet.
Not yet.
No. See that one I'm gonna pay for. Right.
I think Ryan is quietly one of the best entrepreneurs in town.
100%.
Because of Mint Mobile, because of aviation, he puts it in his stuff, and like you notice, it's in his movies, but like he tucks it in.
Yeah.
And then he's got this whole empire, and he's able to just consistently be fresh, right. So he can make riskier movies, which I think is great. Because this indie works great. Like he's in. Have you seen The Nines?
Mm-mm.
He's got this great movie.
I've seen nothing. Gore.
Okay, so there's this movie called The Nines. It's literally a metaphysical journey where he plays three characters that interweave like a poem.
Oh, okay.
And it's like all Ryan Reynolds opposite Ryan Reynolds, and it's you can't take those risks unless you got Mint Mobile and these things.
What was the one he did? Shit, there was one that he did. Buried.
Yeah, that incredible. Was a good one. Big risks. Yeah. Like that's a very bold
thing.
That's
what
to
I mean, though. He's like he's got a different type of career because he's just so charismatic.
Yeah.
That you always take a risk with that guy.
But that's why I think Disney's in the Ryan Reynolds business.
Yeah, of course.
Much like Downey, I think he's going to have way more control than most other actors. Yeah. I think Deadpool's going to be a bigger fixture. I would argue Deadpool should be the only one that actually relates to both Marvel and the X-Men.
That's what you would assume.
But right? I don't want X-Men versus Avengers. I would rather have the X-Men get to exist, not saying they're in another universe, but just over there, and then Deadpool's allowed to be the guy that like references that he's in the universe.
Right.
Because I don't want too much convoluted 20 team plus 10 team. Like that seems like it's going to get messy.
Yeah, I'm curious how they're going to play that one for sure because they're making a lot of moves. But before we take off here today and close this one out, let's circle back on the Eternals trailer because it came out on Thursday last week, and I didn't know anything about it. You know, like again, I'd seen a trailer. I knew that both the King of the North and Jon Snow were in it and they were back together. And man, this trailer looks good, man. And I really like her a lot. And she's from, like I said, I love the writer.
Yeah.
Love the writer. I was skeptical with putting Angelina Jolie in there because I didn't want it to become an Angelina Jolie star-studded project. Doesn't seem like that at all. I love that they tell you inside the question, why didn't you guys get involved if Thanos is around? You know?
And that's a smart way to set up the character that Jon Snow plays. Okay. It's a great way because he's basically, Whitman is his character name. He's the Black Knight, and he gets a sword.
Who's the main character, the King of the North?
Basically, Icarus. Yeah. I think he's a bad guy.
Oh, you do?
I do. I think he turns. I think everyone else loves humanity and he's sick of it.
Okay.
That's my theory. I think Whitman, who's the Black Knight, I think he doesn't become the Black Knight until the third act or a post-credit scene.
Okay.
So I think he's our eye line as a human going like, what are these Eternals?
So that sets up that they could fight each other, which would be incredible.
I think there's a love triangle involving him and Icarus.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be basically the dynamic of a human who gets imbued with power versus these gods that love humanity. And what's cool about his sword is it's basically the anti-Mjolnir. Instead of being like, you're worthy of this, like, you got to be kind of a dick to wield this.
Right.
The sword makes you a worse person. So
it's like
I think,
almost like the ring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the ring, but it's like this dark magic similar to the ring. But I think we're going to see him become more and more malicious and sarcastic while still trying to save people. And I think that's going to be setting up its own another thing. So I think we're going to get the beginning of the Jon Snow thing.
Because you're going to have to set up and this goes to the evolution of just Marvel in general. Long gone are we from Tony Stark selling arms and then having to build a suit in a cave. It's just a human story of, oh, this guy knows tech, and that's it. Now we're in time, parallel universe. This, you're speaking my language.
It's magic.
This is the kind of, dude, I looked today. I Googled time travel possibilities and the use of water, right? Because for some reason, every time I turn on a fucking faucet, whether it's the bath or whether it's the sink, a memory flashbacks from a time in my life.
Cool.
And it's a specific memory, and it's weird because it's if I turn on the sink, it's a particular time in my life, same time period.
Yeah.
Whether it's like 2003 or 2004, it's the same time period. But in the bathroom, when I'm giving my daughter a bath and I turn the water on, it's a different time period, and it flashes.
That's amazing.
In.
So it's sense memory.
I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's like I said. Why do I keep doing? I'm like, is there something with time and consciousness and all that? And so all this shit with Eternals and Loki and all that, this is the stuff I'm locked into Phase 4 because this is the kind of crazy shit that I like. I'm going to go and I'm going to enjoy and shove popcorn in my face during the, you know, end game. And,
yeah. Your
and
Black
all
Widows
stuff.
And you're more contained.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'll have fun watching them, but this is the stuff where I could like geek out about it. And it's sci-fi sword and sandals type shit too, and that's my favorite type
of stuff. Owen Wilson and Loki having conversations about existentialism is my favorite stuff Marvel's done. Like, just those conversations. Yeah. Winter Soldier's my thing because it captures so much of comics, but I want to just have those conversations be the forefront. So if Eternals can capture that through these broad concepts, because there's a lot of religious overtones in the trailer, like the 7 days creation, that's obviously very Jesus-based.
Right, of course.
Like, all of these things, and these are creatures that have more power than humans that try to protect us, but also are watching over us.
Right.
So there's going to be so much fun going through thousands of years of mythology, but also dealing with all the Marvel Universe stuff that we've had only in this much time.
Which is really fun. But what, so what's everyone's, obviously there was a big thing on Twitter that everyone's like, oh, it's Galactus, but it's not Galactus.
It's a Celestial. So that's Aberyth, the accuser, the Watcher. He's got something, the name. I forget
the
guy?
Is he
the judge.
He's the judge. Because the Watcher Aberyth, is Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, that's Uatu, the Watcher. Yeah, okay. It's Aberyth, the judge, and he's one of the Celestials. Celestials basically, I think in this continuity, they're going to invent the Eternals as a furthering of evolution. Okay. So I think they're going to be more robot-based, but furthering their evolution, make something like the Eternals. Okay. And I think they are basically going to be one of the cosmic entities responsible for creating the universe. So we've started to see a little taste of that, like in Loki.
Yeah.
So Uatu is something that just watches. We're going to get the Living Tribunal, who's responsible for the ramifications of choices. He's a cosmic entity that basically tries to keep things on a just path, because he sees all realities at once.
Right.
All of these things are coming to play. And I think in the Eternals, we're going to see like the fabric of space time and who created it.
That's what I want to see.
It's going to be insane.
And then between, so this year is, it's funny because this is like this is a year for me that I'm really excited for certain movies, whether it's this one for sure, even though I haven't seen it, the Suicide Squad, the Dune.
Yeah.
Matrix.
Yeah. Dune, Matrix coming back.
Like those movies alone, it's like, okay, that's, and then obviously my most anticipated right now is The Many Saints of Newark.
Yeah, like of course, you're right in the zone.
I'm in the zone right now. So it surpassed.
It's August. We still have almost like 5 months.
Yeah, what do we got? When is Hawkeye coming out?
Hawkeye's November. Yeah.
All right, so then, and Boba Fett is December.
Yep. Spider-Man's December.
Matrix,
I believe, is November. It seems like a November movie.
So October is Many Saints of Newark.
Mm-hmm. September's Venom, which I'm stoked for.
September's Venom. So yeah, it's tons of like. So now it's like every month something big is coming out,
and we're living in a time where it's dense. Like The Matrix blew my mind in '99. It changed cinema. Yeah. There's no way they're coming back if they're not planning to do that again. Like they're not coming back with a limp script.
I mean, they
got to fix 2 and 3, man.
They got to fix 2 and 3.
And I don't think they would unless they have that.
If I'm Warner Brothers, I'm going, give me number 4.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got.
We'll talk about.
And 5. If it crushes, then I'll greenlight 5.
But if I'm Keanu, Carrion Moss, or even Yaya, I'm not touching it unless it's great. Yaya's career is perfect.
And
that dude has only done good stuff.
Keanu's very similar to what we were just talking about with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
But different, because Keanu Reeves will do this thing. Stinker, 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 stinker. Mega thing you remember for the rest of your life.
Stinker.
Mega thing you remember for the rest of your life.
Like once a decade, he's the guy for like 2 years.
I would take his career 10 times out of anybody else.
And he can make so many risks because of it.
He just did this movie no one's ever heard of that's directed TV. Oh, he just did Point Break. He just did this movie that nobody ever talked about. He just did Speed. He did this movie nobody ever talked about.
Bill and Ted. Then and he came back at Bill and Ted.
Matrix. And then he does John Wick.
Yeah,
It's like, dude, that guy's got the best.
And somehow the
incredible.
Nicest guy still. Like somehow, like that's it, he does all of this, and he gifts motorcycles. Like he just is this
He's
wholesome,
just a, like
incredible
a good,
dude,
a good human. Like,
but I think that's like some karma of like he can come back from that because the world just like he's good.
Ryan Reynolds, they hear the same thing about him. Like everyone that has ever been
sent me gin for my birthday.
Was it?
Sent me aviation gin for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yes, so an absolute angel.
He's
person.
He's a nice human being. So anyway, look, it was a pleasure talking to you. First time on Big
First
Thing.
First time
Gotta
on.
Come back on. And if you, and guys, honestly, go check Koi out at Koi Jandrew, obviously. And you can check him out at the Movie Trivia Schmodown. He's hosting the first place, Quirky Mercs. They are crushing
from negative
it,
2 to number 1.
Which is nuts. Which is really
Historic.
Crazy. It's a good thing. And that's on the Schmodown channel. This channel, if you have found us, please make sure don't only comment and like the video. That's obviously very important. But what we need you to do right now is subscribe and click that notifications thing. YouTube, it makes you do it, makes you work. And in order to help us out, if you like the conversations that you heard today, click all notifications. So make sure you know, Big Thing, it's on every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. PST. the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. Download the episodes. Helps us out very much. We do have the Movie Trivia Schmodown. If you've never heard of it and you're brand new, you just found us because you were searching people talking about Shang-Chi, well, welcome. And check out the Movie Trivia Schmodown. What is it? Well, it's like the UFC or the WWE of movie trivia. It's a full-on league. Head on over to the Movie Trivia Schmodown channel. The link is in the description. Thank you to Quip. Thank you to Koi Jandrew. And thank you to you guys. Appreciate it for joining us here on this Monday, and we'll catch you on the flip sides. Homie.